Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Richie Neal, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. He's on the front page of the Times all the time. He's the guy in Congress who has to decide how we do things tax-wise. Let me ask you something. Are people paying their taxes?
Yes, you raised a terrific issue. And one of the things that Janet Yellen and I have agreed on is that we intend to up enforcement and scrutiny at the Internal Revenue Service. And here's what I think you want to think about, as well as your listeners. People that pay their taxes in terms of wages through withholding, which is the overwhelming majority of American people, about 95 to 96% of those individuals faithfully pay their taxes. The challenge that we have is this income has grown more sophisticated, I might say, and more complicated through dividends, perhaps, as one example, through capital gains as another example. The chance of being audited at the very top of the income scale in America now has diminished significantly because of the Republican cuts to the IRS. Our system of taxation is focused upon some sense of fairness and some sense that we all pull the wagon. But what's happened in recent years is as the IRS and its reporting tools have diminished. And by the way, the other important consideration, trying to attract a lot of talent for modern taxation purposes has become very hard. If you are a tax attorney, it's unlikely that you want to go to work for the IRS. But we need to invest in technology at the IRS, and it's estimated by the IRS commissioner, Commissioner Rettig, and at my prompting, talking to the president, I've argued that we needed to get him out front. He's a Republican, and he has said repeatedly that at the IRS, if they could do more audits, had more personnel, and better up-to-date technology, that they could generate about $1 trillion more in revenue over a 10-year window. So that means that there's a lot of income in America that is either unreported or underreported. Now, we're not asking here, in this instance, to start this whole new agency of enforcement. What we're saying is simply give the Internal Revenue Service the tools they need to ensure that everybody pays their fair share. You are much more likely to be audited if you claim the earned income tax credit, then you are based upon a very sophisticated capital gains achievement.
That's not good.
It's not good. And it doesn't. It also causes great doubt in America, and I think it fans the flames of what's happened in terms of wealth concentration.
Is this all Trumpism? I mean, obviously, the starving of the IRS had to have a purpose. They weren't doing it accidentally.
Well, much of it started by, I was talking to Ron Wyden the other day, and we were reminiscing about when much of this started. And it really started by a fellow who is a now deceased, a member of Congress, who came there with me. His name was Mel Hancock, and he was from Missouri. And the IRS during those years had embraced this idea of hiring outside contractors to collect. So the repo men and women, what they frequently would do, they would show up in the middle of the night and they took on a lot of responsibilities they shouldn't have and a lot of untoward behavior. So all of a sudden, as part of this anti-tax crusade that I think really started during the Reagan years, that all of a sudden the IRS, because they were the enforcement agency, they became the target of a lot of conservative thinkers in terms of collecting revenue. Now, I will hear people say who want lower tax, which is a legitimate argument. We've argued about it since the Boston Tea Party. But they will say things like, well, that's the people's money. Yes, it is. But veterans' health care is the people's responsibility. Social Security is the people's responsibility. Medicare is the people's responsibility. A decent education system is the people's responsibility. So it's not just about low tax. It's about the obligation that we have to civil society for a decent and adequate quality of life. And let me just say this. This is hardly a Robin Hood argument. But political people, left, right, and center, as well as major economists everywhere, might well disagree on why it happened or how it happened, but the one thing they don't disagree on is it did happen in terms of wealth concentration. There is much more wealth concentration in America today than perhaps since the Gilded Age, and that tells you something.
So how do we get to those guys at the very top? You know the names, who have gotten these massive fortunes, which they couldn't spend if their lives depended on it. Is there a path to get some of that money in taxes?
There is, and I think that what we did with better enforcement at the agency, I think that when we talk about $1 trillion over 10 years, Janet Yellen released a document yesterday that she's estimating that it could be up to $350 billion annually. We're going to have to wait and see how that plays out, but I think better tax enforcement, better scrutiny, and I think on an overall basis of just pointing out the obligation that we all have for, as I noted a moment ago, a better sense of civilization.
Richie, what is the fate? Governor Cuomo, the ex-Governor Cuomo, used to talk all the time about state and local tax deductions.
That's a pretty complicated one, and I intend to address it. I haven't quite figured out how best to address it, but it's an interesting argument because there's some truth to what everybody says. Wealthier people do tend to benefit from it. However, those individuals like firefighters and patrolmen and women in places like New Jersey and New York and California, and indeed parts of the Boston suburbs, as well as even parts of the Cleveland suburbs, which have high property taxes, the truth is that we call those donor states. So New York, California, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, they tend to pay far more in terms of federal revenue than they receive back. And that means, I mean, if everybody has health insurance, for example, there's less dependence on Medicaid. That's one that comes to mind. So I think that on the donor issue, I think the blue states have a pretty good argument. And on the red from the red states argument, they are essentially saying that the deduction itself tends to reward people with bigger homes because it's the property tax debate. Now, I earnestly talked to Secretary Mnuchin at the time, and he assured me that Republicans during the Trump years that they did not intend to drop the top individual rate from 39.6 to 37%. But when they found out what happened to the SALT deduction, they had to give top earners, they thought, a break. So that's why it's so confounding as we go into this final stage of how to deal with that issue. I've got some ideas, which I'm unlikely to share until they're ready to be hatched, but it's a pretty challenging one because there are a number of members in our caucus from New Jersey and New York and California who have said that they are unlikely to support what we're trying to do unless there is some SALT relief.
I want to thank our congressman, my congressman here in the 1st District of Massachusetts, Richie Neal. Very proud of you, Richie, and delighted to see that there isn't a day that we're not reading your name in the major newspapers of this country in terms of your struggle with trying to figure out taxes and what we should all be doing and paying. And thank you so much for being with us. We have one more of these that we have to do, and then you're off the hook to go back to talking to the president, Nancy Pelosi.
Thanks, Alan.